So Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Verse 26. I'm going to read down to verse 37. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Verse 34, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Now, it's at this point that we know that the angel Gabriel had already visited Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, to tell him who his wife was going to be carrying. The forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. And this is in spite of the fact that Elizabeth was advanced in years. In other words, it's funny, she is described as being advanced in years, but Zechariah was described as being old. We still do that today, don't we? "Oh, my wife, she's advanced in years. Me, I'm just old." But that's how they were described. But that's what Gabriel the angel came to proclaim and to tell them. And that had already happened. Now, the angel was dispatched to tell Mary of the son she would conceive in her womb. And Gabriel even told her what his name is and that he will be called the Son of the Most High and how Jesus will reign on an eternal throne. How it is that God, who would give to him the throne of King David, how it is that he would do that and that he would reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is the news that came to Mary. Just some amazing news of what was to take place. Now, remember, Mary was human. She was human. She responded in a human manner. Her initial response was not, "Okay, be it as you have said, O mighty herald of the heavens." Right? She didn't say that. She said, "Really? How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Something you and I in her place would probably say. Like, "Gabriel, I know you're an angel, but man, this is the impossible, isn't it?" But basically, Mary is saying, "I am not compromising my engagement with my soon-to-be husband, Joseph. So how can this come about? How can this come about?" In biblical times, there were several steps to marriage. The first thing is that the families needed to come together, agree on the union between husband and wife. Secondly, there was a public announcement, and at that time, the couple was officially engaged. They were betrothed to each other. And third, there was an official marriage wedding ceremony. And that's when they started living together. Engagement was serious then, and listen, engagement is serious today. You can't take it lightly. For those of you who are single, when you get to the point, and if you get to the point to where you are engaged, make sure that you go into it circumspectly. In other words, that you go into it carefully. Because engagement in the eyes of the Lord is already making a serious commitment towards each other. It hasn't changed. People have changed it, but it hasn't changed. But the point is, it's not that. So I'll get back to the point. The point is how it was that Mary responded. It was her humanity, which is much like our own response would be to an impossible situation. When God sends people to deliver to you a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation, and he does, he uses each and every one of you for each other to build up the body of Christ. How do you respond? How do you respond? And I hope your hesitation is not because you doubt the word that is being given to you, but because you don't see any other way your situation could be worked out but by either manipulation, which would be compromise, or some kind of miracle by God. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And as the angel Gabriel said in verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Nothing. Nothing. That's an encouraging word right there. And Mary's response was not one of doubt as it was for Zechariah. Zechariah was doubtful. "Oh, yeah, we're old. How is this going to come about? Elizabeth is barren. I doubt this can happen." Do you doubt God, or are you like Mary? Mary, notice, was not rebuked. It was not of doubt. It was a question of belief in the God of impossibilities. How is this going to happen? And I do believe it will happen, but how? You ever been in that situation? You think you're in a corner. You think, gosh, I can either work it out myself. I can do things in my own power, in my own will. But we know what that leads to. Oftentimes, it's just a big mess. We make a bigger mess of things. Sometimes we need to be patient and just sit there and say, "Okay, you know what, Lord? In your timing, this will all be worked out. I don't see how it can be worked out, but I'm waiting on you because I believe in you. I believe in your word, and I trust in you." And that was the question. And the answer came. Here was the reply. "It will be a miraculous conception of the Holy Spirit. He will overshadow you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Verse 35. And the angel didn't stop there to encourage her. He also told Mary about what God was doing with her relative, Elizabeth. We need to be reminded of the miracles, don't we? How often do we see God's hand moving in so many different ways? I mean, we can explain it and kind of water it down in a logical manner. But if you really are truthful with yourself, you need to recognize that God moves every single day and shows you and lays out for you the accomplishment through certain circumstances that could only be concluded with, "It was a God thing," over and over. We need to be reminded of miracles. The children of Israel went through the desert continually murmuring and complaining. And how many miracles did they see? I mean, the Red Sea parted. What else do you want, right? Water coming out of a rock? Really? Okay. Impossible with man, possible with God. How many miracles need to be demonstrated in order to show God's power, his sovereignty, his grace, and his mercy on people every single day? And I can tell you story after story, and I know some of you have shared stories with me about how God has worked things out. But it isn't just for me to share with you. You need to fellowship and you need to share those stories with each other to encourage, to build up, to strengthen, to be reminded of the fact that God, He is trustworthy and He is faithful. You may not have the angel Gabriel telling you of what God is doing in the lives of others, but again, you have each other. Verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Mary's response was, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary is found to be in submission to God's will. Beautiful, how beautiful that looks. When a child of God is in submission to God's will. Because at this point, the conception had not taken place. But she received what was told to her with the authority of God and responded with her proclamation that she is a servant of the Lord and submits herself to the word of the Lord. So the second point that I want to draw your attention to here is Mary's humble submission to the authority of God's word. It's one thing to say that you believe that Scripture is the word of God. It's quite another to demonstrate that by placing yourself under the obedient submission of its authority. They're two separate things. Hopefully they meet up. But sometimes, unfortunately, in the life of the believer, it's not there. There's a disconnect. You say you believe, but there's no expression of that in your life. Again, when someone reminds you of a verse that covers what you're going through, you give God lip service and say you believe him only to doubt, or do you act in accordance with that word? Because you can have a brother or sister come along and you could pour your heart out to them. And they can give you one verse, one holy scripture. And that is like a herald coming to you, proclaiming God's word. That's all God said. That's all you need. It's just that one verse. And you listen to it, and it falls on deaf ears. Listen, I am guilty of that. Okay, I'm speaking from experience. I've been guilty of that. I tell you, do not neglect when someone comes to you and gives you a verse to cover the circumstances, the heartache that you're experiencing, because it's a word from God. It's His authority, not by the authority of the person delivering it. It's His power that heals. It's His power that saves. It's by His power that we are encouraged and brought through different and difficult situations. Warren Wiersbe says, quote, submission is not subjugation or slavery. Submission is a voluntary surrender to authority, and it's motivated by love and not fear. Subjugated slaves lose their individuality and become pieces of furniture to be bought and sold. However, submitted Christians yielded to the Lord develop their individuality and become more like the Master, developing into the kind of people God has planned for them to be. The people who refuse to submit to God's authority will never really discover who they are and what God wants them to do, no matter how successful they may be in the eyes of the world. Unless they change, they will be failures in the eyes of God. Close quote. Again, Mary's response should be our response to the word. I am a servant of my Lord, and let it be according to your word, my King. Is he your King? Is he your King this morning? Is he your Lord? Verse 39, we'll continue. Verse 39, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why "Is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." We'll stop there. What's amazing here is that, and I don't know, maybe you've read this portion of Scripture and you've gone right over this, but listen, Zechariah and Elizabeth were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was to them that it was first revealed who it was that Mary was carrying. And Mary was told, "Blessed are you among women," which is a Semitic way of saying, "You are the most blessed. You, above all women, you are the most blessed." Why? Because she is holy in and of herself? Because she is a vessel of grace? No. It was because of who she was carrying. In contemporary Jewish life, their way of thinking is that a woman's greatness was measured by the greatness of the children she bore. So this is why the mother of the Lord, verse 43, as she was referred to, would naturally be said to surpass all others. I couldn't imagine that. My wife is carrying the Son of God. Amazing. What an honor. I mean, this is privilege. The most blessed. This tells us that Mary at this point had already conceived and was carrying Jesus in her womb, and that the referral to "my Lord" in verse 43 gives us an understanding that the emphasis in this account was on Mary's child more than on Mary herself. We need to be careful with that. You know, the emphasis is on Jesus Christ. She is a vessel. In fact, each and every one of you who are believers in Jesus Christ, do you know who you're carrying within you? Do you understand that he who indwells you has sealed you for the day of redemption? The Holy Spirit. It's the third person in the Trinity. That's who you're carrying. You are blessed beyond any people who walks the face of this earth, because you carry within you God the Holy Spirit. And I want to point out that Mary's belief, her faith, her trust was further confirmed when Elizabeth says, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Verse 45. The Bible tells us that the righteous shall live by faith, according to Romans 1:17. And in Hebrews 11:6, the writer of Hebrews said, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." And in James 1:25 we read, "But know here who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." So the third point is believe and be blessed. Warren Wiersbe says, what we believe determines how we behave, and both determine what we become. If we believe the truth will sanctify us, according to John 17:17, and set us free, according to John 8:31-32. If we believe lies, we will gradually become a lie as we lose our integrity and begin to practice duplicity. It's a fundamental principle that we will become like the God we worship. Close quote. So, if what we believe determines how we behave, how is it, and we can see by Scripture here, how is it that Mary behaved? What was her response? Wouldn't this determine what she believed? The blessing is in who we believe by faith, blessed in doing because of belief and submission to the authority of the Word of God. So how should we respond to the authoritative Word of God? How did Mary respond? Let's look at scripture here. Verse 46, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with food, with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And we'll stop there. This is also known as the Magnificat, or as we translate it, means magnifies. This is Mary's response. A humble servant of the Lord who reflects any and all generosity, grace, mercy, goodness, favor, provision, and rejoices in the author of such divine matters. This was a song of praise to God. It was an expression of worship. And Mary starts out these words, this whole, and by the way, all these words, it was all scripture. So Mary knew scripture very well. It was said that she was about between 13 to 15 years old. And all she did was, she was quoting 1 Samuel, Malachi. I mean, just go, you go down Genesis, you just go down. She was quoting all of this, all of this. She was reflecting. She was giving praise to the Lord by his word, his authoritative word. She starts out by saying, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And magnifies is a word that means to make large or great, to praise the greatness of, and to honor highly. Mary explodes with praise and worship. She was a mom that was changed forever by her son, even before he was even born. Mary praised God before she even saw the Messiah perform one miracle. But she knew God the Father had already performed the miracle in her womb, and that was enough for her. Again, my question to you this morning, how much proof do you need for you to understand that God is faithful, that God loves you? How much proof do you need to rejoice in the Lord and know that he is with you every step that you take in your life? How much proof? How many miracles do you need to witness in order to believe and be blessed? The fact that you're alive and breathing is a miracle. That's a miracle in and of itself. The fact that you arrived here for many reasons is a miracle. The fact that you can think and reason by way of a design complex system is a miracle. The fact that the universe is held in place and is not chaotic and destroying itself is a miracle. So my last point is that the Son of God changed the servant of God forever. I pray he does that this morning, that the Son of God changes each and every person here forever. Our lives should reflect praise to the Lord, a changed servant of the Most High, and should be evident, obvious, and infectious. It should be just infectious, not like not in a way where you're kind of repulsive. Because trust me, Christians can be that sometimes. Yeah. Infectious in a way to where it's like, gosh, you know what? The Lord has been so good to me. I can't do anything but express my joy for all that he's done. I can't but live my life for my Lord. I am his servant. He has showered me with his love, with his grace. He has saved me from my sin and the consequences of it. We should reflect praise to the Lord. I mean, can you imagine being around Mary at this time? Yeah, infectious? Yeah, absolutely. Do you think she was excited? Yeah. Humbled? Yeah, her words say that. Filled with gratefulness? Absolutely. Again, her words express that. Mary was indeed the mother that was most blessed of mothers that has ever walked the face of this earth and ever will. Not because she is holy again or because she is the dispenser of grace or an intercessor, because there's only one that's an intercessor, and that's Jesus Christ. But it was because she bore our Lord. Mary didn't emphasize her importance, but rather the importance of the child she was carrying. And now, isn't that just like a mother? A mother doesn't reflect or try and get all the props, as Johnny said, right? Don't give me all the props. My son, my daughter, that is who I want you to honor, to be privileged. I mean, I can tell you, my mom, she desires so much for her kids. It's myself, and I got a brother and a sister. And I know that she has sacrificed so much in order for us to have. So she goes into the background, and her kids are placed out in front. And I can tell you story after story of some amazing things that my mom has done in order to provide for us as a family. Isn't that just like a mother? Mary believed the impossible was possible with God. She humbly submitted to the authority of God's word. Mary was blessed because she believed, and Mary was changed forever by the Son. The result, magnification of the Lord. And how about you? Have you allowed the Son, Jesus Christ, to change you, to give you a whole new life? Jesus said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible, according to Matthew 19:26. And this is what Scripture has to say in regards to your condition. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and Alan Redpath said, salvation is the miracle of a moment. The sanctification of a saint is the work of a lifetime. We know that. Listen, we are new creations in Christ. The moment we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, we believe that he was a Son of God, that he came to this earth and lived a sinless life, was crucified because of our sins, and took upon himself the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future, was buried on the third day, was raised from the dead, appeared to his disciples for 40 days, and then ascended and now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. If we believe that, we are new creations, and we will one day be in God's glory, in his presence forever. Mary believed God at his word and then lived that faith out the rest of her natural life according to Scripture. But what's your response this morning? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and close this out. But what's your response this morning? I can tell you, sons, daughters, if you've been dragged in here, that's okay. Because you had an appointment this morning. Your mom just made up an excuse. The herald, the angel, Gabriel is not here. The Lord is here. And the scripture that I've shared has the authority and has the power to accomplish whatever the Lord wills. The Bible says that we are sinners and that sin separates us from God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. In Romans, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved. Again, these aren't my words. I'm here just delivering these words to you. And there is no other great, there's no greater gift, as it says in 3 John, no greater gift that you can give to your mom this morning, and it has to be, but it has to be a personal decision, than to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Because as John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And they'll tell you personally as a dad, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. No greater joy. They can do whatever it is that they want to do in life. Whatever they want to do. And I'm sincere about that. But if they walk in the truth, that is everything. Everything. I would ask that if you are here and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, that he is calling you this morning. The Father is drawing you unto himself. The Holy Spirit has given you a nudge. And the Son has done all the work for you. It's a free gift by grace alone, by faith. Right now, as they start this song, I would just ask, if that's you, if you need to surrender your life to the Lord, I would just ask that you would come up to the front and make a proclamation. I'm a servant of the Lord. I can't do it by myself. Just come up and make a stand for the Lord. I pray that's you. I just want to say one thing before we leave, and that is, some of you did not come up. And I know the Lord was calling you. I know that for a fact. But I also know that his word does not return void. And I pray that your heart will be softened. I pray that the Lord will work in your life and that he will open your eyes to his grace and love. In whatever moment you come in your life, whatever moment that is when you are ready to surrender your life to him, it's a personal thing between you and him. But I pray that you would share that with someone who is a believer. It's encouraging. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And I would just ask one last thing of you. Don't wait till tomorrow. You go in your closet and pray. And I pray that you come out rejoicing. And I know that nothing is impossible with God. And so, I pray that happens today. Amen? Amen. Church, let's stand up. I believe you have one last song here.
Let's do this.
All right, Father, bless each and every mom again, Lord, as we close out with this song. Lord, we rejoice in your goodness. Lord, this is a day that we celebrate the gifts of moms here. And I just pray that you would continue to Lord, give us life through them. Lord, speak to us through them. And may they be vessels of honor for your purpose and your plans. Not of their own will, but of yours. I just thank you, and I just ask your blessing upon each and every person here. May they go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.